This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are actually worth the annual fee and which just look shiny, how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships, when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices, and more. So travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another weekly edition of our Quick Hits, our up-to-date, as of this recording, news in the world of travel and points and miles. Not a ton of information today as of this recording, so I'm going to try to keep this pretty brief, pretty succinct, probably a few things that you've already heard of at this point, but I have not mentioned yet on this show. But if you're being in the points and miles space, you've probably heard of a couple of these updates. But I will jump in first with the payroll on credit card Zill Money update. Our chat absolutely blew up. When I say our chat, I mean our Facebook Messenger group chat, which if you're not in, you 100% should be. But it absolutely blew up last week on Thursday. And big shout out to Jen, who basically put out the bat signal, as I call it, in the Facebook Messenger group that said, "It's working," in all caps. "I just processed my very first payroll by credit card on Zill. Check this morning, no luck. Check this evening, and it went through." Which this completely caught me off guard, because basically their last update says, come back September 1st, we'll have our transaction limit will have been reset and et cetera, et cetera. It looks like they're trying to figure some more things out. We're still in our testing phase. So it kind of came back out of the blue. And I mean, this was almost a all hands on deck, drop everything you were doing moment, because I was like, I don't know if this is going to go away in the next hour, let alone, you know, the next few days or so. And so our Facebook chat absolutely blew up as people were talking through. I was just processing. I know we have a few members in our Facebook group, like Amy, as well as Kevin, Lynn, who was actually on the podcast a few months ago talking about sleep and how to get your best sleep or avoid jet lag, I should say. So a lot of great confirmations and conversations in the Messenger group. But long story short, it looks like Zill Money is back. However, it seems as if that magical moment where I got 4x on my payroll charge back in July has come and gone, because since then, it basically, the system shut down middle of or pretty early in July. It was back for a day in August. And if you didn't run it that day, well, then you were kind of out of luck, and now it's back. But people who did run it earlier in August, or people that have ran it since Thursday, are basically saying they're not seeing that it's coding the same way as it did when I did it, when it first came up in July. When I did it, it said electronic goods computer retailer. Now it looks like its coding is just like miscellaneous. So what I fear is, worst case scenario here, we might be in a space where however it actually codes, and it's also seemingly changing way more than I think vendor codes typically do. I think vendors usually just stay what they are. I don't know if someone's listening to this podcast and they're saying, hey, we got to pivot because DeAndre keeps telling people what this is coding as. I don't know. But for some reason, it's now kind of as a miscellaneous. So I think worst case scenario here, because I keep getting constant questions about this, people reaching out and asking me this, worst case scenario, there is no bonus category at all across any card. Now, I'm not confirming that. I'm saying that this is what I'm seeing as the worst case scenario if nothing changes or changes back. And basically using our group and you listeners to give me more data points than I could just do on my own much faster than I could on my own to figure this out. But if there are absolutely no cards that give anything more than a 1x essentially, well, then it seems like this goes back to my original statement I made from day one on the very first podcast on this subject, where the math will still work out as long as you're using a 1.5x or 2x card as far as it earns that amount on your purchase, and you're redeeming for 2x or 2 cents or more of value per point. So if you know how to redeem, you know how to use transfer partners, then this will still work even if you're not getting 3x or 4x as we would all magically love to do. Now, for me personally, what I'm currently doing right now is I used on Thursday, I actually ran two payrolls. So there's an interesting data point for anyone listening. So they updated their system. But what I mean by that is before, you could pick kind of any date in the past or any date in the future as your payroll check date. Well, why that's important to note is this update, you can only pick a day in the future now. And they're saying that you can't run payroll dates that are in the past anymore. It has to be only for check dates in the future. This is probably because so many people have been waiting for this to go live. Everyone's been trying to catch up their backlog of payroll that when the system was down, and they basically said no more of that. Now, here's the interesting thing. I had two payrolls that were available for me. One, I had actually already queued up in the system back in August, or I should say earlier August, so like August 5th, because we do our payroll for the 5th and the 20th. And that's when I went through the whole process and they basically said, hey, sorry, like our system's down right now. So that's been sitting there as just waiting to be processed. So I went ahead and hit process on that and ran that on my Chase Business Sapphire card. It was approved. So not only did it go all the way through, and I got confirmation that it actually was approved a day or two later. And then this was on the 21st. I went ahead and I had a payroll that was already done on August 20th. I was like, I don't know if they're going to approve this, but I told them my check date was 8/22. And I did upload, as always, I have to always upload my payroll summary. It clearly says the check date was 8/20, but I put in the system 8/22 because that was the only next date available that I could choose. And they ended up approving that also. And I actually ended up doing that on my Chase Hyatt card. And the reason why I did that, which I'm going to unpack when I do the full episode, is I think that this is a really amazing way also to get or to maintain status. And I think this is going to be one of the ways that I help myself earn or maintain globalist status. We'll get to that in the full podcast episode. So these are just some data points for anyone that's looking to use the Zill Money payroll by credit card, or has been telling their friends about it, or whatever it may be. Just a couple interesting data points. Again, we're still unpacking this. You're welcome to join the Facebook group chat and join the conversation and add your own data points or what you're finding as well. As of right now, and things could change literally tomorrow, the payroll service is back up, or I should say the ability to charge your card for payroll is back up. But it looks like there are no bonus categories that anyone has found so far or multipliers outside of just getting 1x. And so then it's using the right card and getting the right redemption or using it for a signup bonus. All of this I'll unpack on a much deeper dive once I know for a decent fact that the system is back up and it's fairly stable. Next piece of news is that Doctor of Credit has put together a pretty helpful notice that essentially you can use any of your $200 American Express Platinum Fine Hotels and Resort credits remaining before September 18th, because after September 18th, the credit changes to $300 and it resets after that date. And just so you know, you don't need to stay by September 18th for the credit. You just need to book by September 18th. So if you have an Amex Platinum card that gets usually the $200 FHR, so Fine Hotels and Resorts credit, and you have not used it yet for this year, according to Doctor of Credit, you can go ahead and book a hotel, get that $200 credit back after September 18th. It will reset and you should be eligible to use your July through December $300 credit to Fine Hotels and Resorts benefits, which apply now for not just the Amex Platinum personal, but also the Amex Business Platinum as well. So again, if you haven't used your benefit, use that, book it, book a night somewhere, have fun. Doesn't even have to be in the next couple of weeks. It can be next year, but book that, use that $200 credit, take advantage, and then reset. And then you likely could actually use that credit again, use the same, book the same hotel, and then make that night too. So now you have two separate bookings at the hotel. You're going to get all the perks. Ideally, they can link it and you won't have to even change rooms. So just something to keep in mind. It looks like Singapore Airlines has changed their award redemption rates. It looks like most of their rates are going up about 5 to 10%. Although in Asia and the South Pacific, it looks like redemptions are dropping about 5% in price. And then flights to Africa and the Middle East are actually getting a 10 to 20% increase. And now there's also variable pricing for non-saver awards. So a little bit of a devaluation, as we would call it, from Singapore Airlines. Technically, if you are trying to go through Asia or South Pacific, you might actually see a little bit of a savings. But I think across the board, you're going to see the point cost going up. And that's going to be happening here in the next few months. Probably the biggest news to hit this week, and I'm not going to do too much of a deep dive into it. There's plenty of blog posts and other podcasts that have broken down at great length the new Alaska Airlines Atmos Rewards program. And this is something that they've done since their Hawaiian merger. And it also comes with their first ever premium card, the Atmos Rewards Summit Visa Infinite. So here's the deal, basically. It's a 100,000 point welcome bonus plus a 25,000 point global companion award after you spend $6,000 in 90 days. And if you had joined the wait list, you actually will get bumped up to 105,000 points. I actually joined the waitlist myself just because I wasn't sure what was going to come out. I've never actually flown Alaska Airlines, but they also were giving a free 500 Alaska points just for joining the waitlist in general. So if you did join the waitlist as well, you'll get an extra 5,000 Atmos rewards miles there, essentially. And what I think really makes us stand out is the Global Companion Award, because once a year, you can cut a companion award ticket by 25,000 points, even in business or first class on Alaska, Hawaiian, or any One World partner, which is amazing. And so if you're a huge spender, you can actually unlock up to a 100,000 point discount as well. And just want to clarify, it might not be any One World partner, but there are many One World partners included in their list. You'll also, with this card, get 8 Alaska Lounge passes a year, automatic status boost, instant $50 vouchers for flight delays, 3x on dining and foreign purchases. I think that last part is probably the most unique thing I've seen from a credit card so far, the 3x on foreign purchases. Because yes, when you're traveling, most of your money is probably spent on food and dining or travel itself in foreign countries. And so you're going to get 3x anyway. But if you're an expat, you're someone living overseas, and you just have day-to-day expenses, not even just a grocery store, but just home improvement places or whatever it may be, a car mechanic, getting 3x on foreign purchases could be huge, because that could be a way to fast-track you to a One World status so that when you are traveling back towards the United States, you're able to enjoy some lounge access with your One World status. You know, my parents actually live overseas in Panama. My dad's Panamanian. He's from there. So they live overseas in Panama. This would be something that, you know, if we were really getting into credit card strategy, this could be ideal for them to use across the board to kind of level up and have some options for themselves when traveling back and forth to the States. Now, you also get free bags for you and 6 companions. And as a kind of a staple at this point, you'll get that global entry or pre-check credit. So the bottom line, you know, I really feel like Alaska just threw down with a premium airline card that rivals Delta, United, and American in some ways, but with a lower annual fee and a few more creative perks. So if Alaska Airlines is on your radar for a major trip or whatever it may be, this could be a card to consider adding to your collection. Oh, and speaking of the Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts benefit, as well as the hotel collection, Amex actually recently announced that they're adding 400 more properties, or they actually have already added, I should say, 400 more properties to their collection. And so that announcement also indicates that this expansion includes 49 newly added destinations altogether. So now this total footprint of Fine Hotels and Resorts and the hotel collection altogether is now roughly around 3,100 properties in about 114 countries around the world. So I do like the fact that not only are they expanding the benefits on the Platinum card, but they're also expanding access to different properties that we wouldn't otherwise have had the same benefits to all over the world. Now, that being said, by adding 400 more properties in 100 different countries, that's on average a little bit less than 4 properties per country in the world. I'm sure the US is going to be way more weighted than maybe some other ones. So you might not see a huge change when you're looking at destinations, but you never know. There could be something new that catches your eye. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the Chase has just refreshed the Sapphire Reserve and its welcome bonus. It's now offering its historically biggest ever welcome bonus. I think this is probably because people weren't impressed with the refresh itself. That original 100,000 Ultimate Rewards Point welcome bonus rivaled, or basically tied, the same welcome bonus I got when I got the Chase Sapphire Reserve when it first came out in, I believe it was fall of 2016. And so when they refreshed it, they brought that back. And if I remember correctly, I believe there might be only one other time, or maybe there was no other time, but I think there was only one other time that the bonus was ever up to 100,000 points. Well, from what I'm seeing, I'm pretty sure people really didn't jump on it like they thought they would. Maybe some people even considered getting rid of it. So they've stepped it up, and now it's their truly biggest ever welcome bonus of 125,000 ultimate rewards points after $6,000 in spend within 3 months. I think some people would argue that the last one was better because it came with 100,000 points and a $500 Chase travel credit. But you know, for me, I would take extra 25,000 points. That's the same value as $500 of travel through the portal. Plus, your points don't expire. Plus, if you can redeem properly, you can actually get a lot more value than $500, obviously. So overall, it's a pretty huge haul. It is the best ever Sapphire Reserve bonus, but you have to decide on whether the perks will outweigh the fee itself and how much of those credits you're going to use, seeing as it's now this shift in the use of credits overall. So something that you just got to consider, does this one fit for you? I personally plan to keep my Chase Sapphire Reserve with all the changes. The Chase Business Reserve that I recently got, I'm going to evaluate next year if it makes sense to keep that or change. I couldn't avoid or miss out on the 200,000 point sign-up bonus for it. But again, we all have to evaluate, do these cards make sense with the fees, with the benefits we're going to get out of them, and everyone has to make their own decision themselves. And lastly, we'll wrap up with the recent transfer bonuses that are available or recently available still. We still have Capital One Miles 15% to Avianca. That's expiring September 31st, so just in a couple days here. Then 100% transfer bonus from Chase Ultimate Rewards to IHG. This expires September 4th. I really would avoid doing this transfer. I know 100% transfer bonus sounds amazing, but even with 100% transfer bonus, your Chase points are still worth more, substantially more than IHG points are. And honestly, I think you'd probably be better even redeeming your points for 1 cent of value. I'm not saying to do this, but redeeming them for 1 cent of value at an IHG property before even transferring with the 100% bonus. However, if you need a little bit more points to top off to get that fourth night free when you book 3 nights on points, something along those lines, that could really make sense. And then lastly, this one expires September 20th, and that's a 25% transfer bonus from City Thank You Rewards to Wyndham. We're going to end this one here. As always, appreciate each and every one of you that listens to the podcast, that checks out our blog post, that reads our newsletter, that comments in our Facebook group and our Facebook Messenger chat. Do really appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much for taking the time out to do so, time out of your busy schedule and busy lives to do so. Don't forget, if you haven't already, to sign and subscribe up to our newsletter. Check out our new travel vlog style YouTube account. That's our Boldly Go Travels account. We do air the audio on the podcast, but the visuals, I think, are really what set it apart, because that's where really you get to hone in on a lot of the things that we've actually seen, experienced, and done on our travels as well. I hope everyone has had a fantastic week and has a fantastic weekend also, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.